Blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 25, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, who shall come to thee and stand before thy face? Who shall abide a welcome guest within thy holy place? 1 through 4 of Psalter 25.
scripture reading for this afternoon hour is from the Gospel according to Mark, and thereof chapter 10, the first 31 verses. But let us first read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 10. And he arose from thence, and cometh into the coasts of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resorted unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and said unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, Thou who dwellest above, and we here upon this earth, Thou who lookest upon Thy church from the beginning of the world unto the last day, and who does care for Thy church wherever that they are, Thou who sayest unto Thy own people, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Thou who givest also sacraments within Thy church, who hast instituted them for the fearful among Thy people, that Thou mayest ground them, that Thou mayest establish them, and that Thou mayest say unto them, Be not afraid, it is I. O Lord, Thou knowest where that Thy people are, that do tremble also when they do hear that that sacrament is to be administered once again in the midst of us. For Thou knowest all the fears and the questions that are living so often in their hearts. They do not know that it is for them. O Lord, Thou who dost begin that work and who wilt also finish it, Thou who dost quicken Thy church, and Thou who dost also maintain it, Thou who art the Alpha, and who art also the Omega, and Thou who art the beginning, and Thou who art also the ending, for a people who are not able to maintain themselves, we beseech Thee, for the sake of Thy own great name, and for the sake of Thy own dear and beloved church, that Thou mayest remember us in the week that we have entered, a week wherein we are called, as Thou dost command us, to examine ourselves, and so to eat of that bread, and to drink of that cup. And Thou knowest everything that the devil is able to bring against Thy church, also in a week such as this. O Lord, we beseech Thee for them, that Thou wouldest hold him on a chain, that Thou wouldest put him away for this time. Oh, could it be that they may receive a little quietness amidst all the turmoil that is within heart and life, which comes out of that pit of darkness. Oh, that Thou mayest give a truly a little reflection upon their own life, upon Thy own work and Thy own leading within their life. O Lord, that they may be able to perceive by the reflection of Thy Holy Spirit shining also in their life and in their heart, Thy work, because it is not our work, but it is Thy work for which we must examine ourselves. O Lord, what are we and who are we? What can we do and what can we bring? O Lord, we are in ourselves nothing, but a stench in thy most holy nostrils. And we can do nothing but sin and iniquity. And we can bring forth nothing but corruption and pollution. O Lord, we can bring on our own pate nothing but guilt. We beseech thee then that thou wilt show thyself, if it could please thee, to be that salvation that thou hast given for a poor and a wretched and a miserable sinner who has brought upon him his own destruction and who cannot deliver himself out of that pit wherein he has brought himself. Oh, that thou mayest reveal thyself, O Lord, because when thou dost withhold the light of thy shining, oh, then it is so dark within the heart of thy children. Then they can see nothing and they can believe nothing. But Lord, there is a people who must live by faith. Oh, thou must give it to them. It is a gift of God. Oh, that thou may grant it also in this day, in this hour. Oh, that thou may show it also unto those who have never seen it in their life. Oh, that thou mayest reveal thyself and to say unto them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. When they are not able to find it within themselves and with any man that is about them. Oh, when a man has come to the end of the law, and when he is not able to justify himself, O Lord, wilt thou show him that thou dost justify such in the atoning blood of thy dear Son that has been shed upon that cursed tree for wretched and miserable and guilty sinners, or that they may be given to hope in him who alone is able to deliver them from all their guilt and from all their corruption, and to renew them unto a new life, to give unto them a new heart, and to uphold them even to that last moment when they shall exchange this time for a never-ending eternity. O Lord, look upon our children and our youth, to give to them to see the blessedness of the portion that thou givest unto all thy people, in the day when they are still young, and when Satan does draw them with all that is desirable to their flesh. Oh, that they might also, as a young child, as a young man, be given to take up the cross and to follow thee, because it is a way that is against our flesh. Oh, then we need to be made a soldier, a warrior, to fight against all the desires of the flesh, and to walk in accordance with all thy commandments. Oh, then it is not possible, Lord, except that thou would shed abroad the love of God in the heart, and to give a new desire that is able to conquer the old desires. Oh, Lord, thou sayest that thy people must mortify the flesh. Oh, they must kill it. Lord, they cannot kill it. Oh, it is going with them everywhere that they go. It goes with them in the day, and it goes with them in the night. Oh, then it is a warfare wherein they must experience that they have no strength against that company that cometh against them. But Lord, thy servant did take but 5 smooth stones from the brook, and with those he was in the name of God himself triumphant over that great Goliath. O Lord, that thou would also give it to be experienced in the life of thy people, that they have nothing to fight with and have not to yield the sword of a man, but that they may be given to yield the sword of the Spirit. Oh, that they may be given a true cry and a true prayer unto thee to help them, and that thou wouldest thyself show them that that enemy has also had his head taken off of him, and that it is bruised to a never-ending eternity, and that there is no power that is able to come over and to overpower him who has bruised his head. O Lord, wilt thou take us, each and every one of us, by heart and by hand, when we perhaps have viewed in our life this sacrament so many times, and when we have been sitting in our benches, O Lord, then it has become for us also perhaps just another time, and with customary quietness and slothfulness, then we will go about the week that is to come, and we will, with customary sloth, sit in our benches. O Lord, could it be that thou wilt with thy Spirit shoot an arrow into our heart then? Oh, could it be, even if we have become old and cold under all the preaching and the institution of thy sacraments, oh, that it may become different, Lord, and that we may be stopped upon our way. Oh, could this be the occasion? Lord, could this be the time? Oh, maybe there are those who do say it in their own hearts, Lord, to have a little desire, or maybe even in an outward way. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to work that tenderness of spirit, oh, to break that hard and cold and stony heart, that it could weep a single tear this day, oh, that they have left thee, and that we have forsaken all thy commandments. Oh, that thou wouldest draw, Lord, and then we will certainly run after thee. Oh, give them to feel something of the blessed sweetness of the work of thy most holy Spirit, that they may begin to arise and to say, I will return unto my Father. O Lord, could it please thee that in this day the hardest heart may be broken, and the coldest heart may be softened, and that there may be a going out of this place different than we have come in. We are not able, Lord, to do so, not with a single word that we have dreamt in our mind to speak in this hour. But thou, Lord, with thy Spirit, dost use the simple means in thy own hands, the foolishness of preaching, to do thy own great and marvelous work. Oh, we beseech thee then, for young and old amongst us, it is just another Sabbath day. Lord, oh, could it be that it is a Sabbath day never to be forgotten in our whole life? Look upon us then in this hour. Care thou for all the needs and the wants. Look upon the child that is in the hospital, with her family that is there also caring for her. That thou may remember them also and give her that healing that is necessary in her body, and the doctor's wisdom to do all of this, and all those that mourn. Lord, care for all that are not able to be here also in this day. Thou knowest all the circumstances and what they are, and what the desires also are to be in our midst, that thou may give also thy word to be full of savor in the place where that they may be, and that thou may gather then with us, as we are not able to effect, but thou art able to give. Wilt thou give that all things may be done decently and in order in thy house? We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 112 all the stanzas. Before thy people I confess the wonders of thy righteousness. Thou knowest, Lord, that I have made thy great salvation known. thy truth and faithfulness displayed, thy loving kindness shown. All the stanzas of Psalter 112.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, next week, the Lord willing, we hope to commemorate once again the Holy Supper of the Lord. And then you know that before us then is a week of preparation, as the Lord Jesus has commanded, and that we examine ourselves and so eat of that bread and drink of that cup. There are two things for which we must examine ourselves. The one of them is easy, children. The one of them is public. That is, we need in the first place to be a confessing member of the church. You are a member too, you say, right? You are a member too because you are baptized. But that is for the Lord's Supper not sufficient. And then it is only for those who have made a public confession of faith within the church that it is for the adults. You say, why is that? Is that because only adults are able to be converted? Oh, no. No, no. You know that we just heard that out of God's word. Then the Lord Jesus says the adults, they have to become like little children again. No, we can be converted when we are young. But we have to be also orderly in the house of God. And when you become older, then you will understand more why that is only for those that are older. There is a second thing that is for our examination that is much more difficult. That is not a public matter. That is not for us to examine of one another. But that is for every one of us to turn within ourselves. That is a matter between God and our own soul. And thus, when we are sitting and each making a choice, a decision in the coming Sabbath day, that is not to look on anyone else, but that is only then to look upon ourselves. The Holy Spirit has rebuked the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. And in that rebuke he said, thou art rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and thou dost not know that actually that thou art poor, that thou art miserable, that thou art wretched, that thou art blind, that thou art naked. It's possible that a person, even God's children, possess more than they think they do. That is, that they are afraid, that they say, this is, as we read, the children's bread, but am I a child? Then they want to hear that and know that from the Lord Himself. That is not only from a minister or from one of God's people that cannot do for them. No, they need to hear this out of the mouth of the Lord, lest they themselves do something and that they ought not to be doing. It is, of course, possible that also a person possesses less than he thinks he does. That can even be for God's people. That actually they are speaking further than the Lord has actually led them in their life. But that is actually more common with the dead, that is, the spiritually dead, because everyone has desires. And then we must ask, what are those desires about? What are those desires for? What do those desires go out after? And we know that that Balaam, for example, he desired that he may die the death of the righteous, that his last end may be like theirs. Thus he wanted the blessings, and in the end of his life he wanted to receive heaven, but he did not want to live that way, because his heart was all after the things that are in this world. And now it is that true faith. You say, what is that true faith? Actually, we cannot know what that is unless we have experienced what that is. And that's what makes it so very difficult. If a person has never seen, then he also cannot know what sight is. Everyone can tell him what it is, but he doesn't have the capacity to see, and he cannot understand it. So that is also with true faith. And then we think we have something, but actually that we do not. And then it is so easy to make a mistake that we say we take temporary faith for true saving faith. What an awful thing to believe that we are rich and that we are increased with goods, and to believe that we have need of nothing, and yet to be poor, to be miserable. That is deceit. And what an awful thing for us. That is not for other people. No, that is a thing for us as we are traveling to God. We cannot take away imagined possessions, spiritual possessions, from a person. Reverend Smitegelt has said that temporary faith is to be assured without God. To be assured without God. And he said that if an angel came from heaven, he could not make such a person to doubt. He could not take away the doubt. He could not take away the strength of the faith, that temporary faith of such a person. Oh, the Lord give to us, congregation, honesty. And the Lord give us to know truly what our poverty is while we are still traveling on this journey, and while there is a sun still shining, and the Lord Jesus still says that we may buy of him gold tried in the fire, that we may be rich, and white raiment, and that we may be clothed, and that the shame of our nakedness does not appear. Our text, that is Mark 10, verse 21, Mark 10, verse 21, where we read, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." So far the words of our text. One thing lacking. First, what it is. And second, why it is necessary. One thing lacking, what it is and why it is necessary. This young man, congregation, has, we read here, many possessions. He is rich. Is that what you desire, young people? You have to make a choice. You say, I'm going to do this in my life, I'm going to do that in my life, and then you need to make a choice. What you are going to do for your career, what is now all coming in there? What is now the most important when you make such a choice? Because Solomon says, labor not to be rich. So is that what you are doing? that you are laboring only to be rich. We don't say that you must not work hard. You must work hard. But that is now the motive. The Lord himself says we must work hard. That is, 6 days shalt thou labor. But he says that not to be rich. No. But the motive must be to be obedient. And that we are walking after his commandments. And we read that in the form for marriage, for example. And then it says that a man must labor diligently to maintain his household honestly, and that he likewise may have something that he may give unto the poor. Many riches are often an hindrance from entering into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus spoke about seed that was scattered on the ground, and that seed was some of it coming among the thorns. And he says that the thorns, they are choking that seed. And then he explains that. And he says how that the prosperity and the riches in this world, they are choking that seed. Is that not true? When that word goes forth, maybe sometimes even young people on the Sabbath day, that your heart is a little warmed. Is that sometimes a little warmed that you say, yeah, that is now what really I need in my life. And then on Monday, you say, it's all gone. It's all gone. And then my life, my heart, that is all taken up once again with all the world and all the riches of this world. The Lord Jesus spoke about men that he had one thought, that is how he is going to bestow all his riches and goods, and that he has to build barn after barn because it is all about the riches that are in this world. So we read here about a man who is rich, but those riches, they are sometimes a plague. Hezekiah was rich too, and that was, yeah, those ambassadors from far away, and he says, come, and I will show you all of my riches. Think about Lot. He's standing there with his uncle Abraham, and then, yeah, Abraham is showing him, look over everything. And then Lot looks over there. Yeah, he sees over there that land that is so green and so prosperous, and it is lying there by that city of Sodom. And yeah, there goes his heart, that young man, after the riches of this world. And what good did it do to that godly man? Because he had also the fear of God in his young heart. And thus we read, actually, a wonder here, don't we, in the Word of God about another young man that is in the New Testament, and he is rich, and it does not seem at all like these riches are the end for which he is working and for which he is living in this world, because it is true he is rich, but there are many things about him that actually we would say this man, it looks like this man actually may be a converted young man. Because here is a man who is minding the things not of the world, but he is minding the things of heaven. What an interest that young man showed in the things of religion. This man is coming for instruction. He wants to be taught, not how to make more money. Now he wants to be taught by the Lord Jesus himself. Can we say that? That we have such a desire here. This man comes asking the Lord Jesus questions, and he has not waited until his bones are old. No, He is doing this already, young people, when he is young. Oh, how many congregation of us does this young man not put to shame? Because it is here now, the welfare of his soul that he is looking after. And he looks at all of his riches, and he says, those riches are not able to help me when I die. Then I'm going to have to leave them all behind. Here was a young man that was already a ruler. That was in his youth. He was a man that was respected. Other people in this world looked up to him. They have set him in a place of authority. And this man is not looking to all of the opinions that men have about him. No, he is not looking to the office that has been given to him. He is not looking at the power that has been given to him. But he is placing himself before God. He is going unto the Lord Jesus himself. He is not a bold man. Are you bold? Here is a man who is very reverent. He comes, we read in God's word, kneeling. And he is very respectful when he prays. Are you respectful when you pray? And when he says, good master, so he addresses the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a motive in his heart that is true, that is at least in an outward way, because it is very different from the scribes and the Pharisees that have come to the Lord Jesus with a motive that they may trap him in his words. No, this young man desires to do nothing of the kind, but he has genuine questions within his heart. This man displays an extraordinary zeal, because we read that this man comes running. That is, that he sees an opportunity. And this opportunity is singular. There is only one of them. It could be that he is never going to get this opportunity again, and he does not want to miss it. Ah, do you ever feel that? That there is one opportunity? Or do you say, I have next Sunday too, and the following Sunday too? But we do not know. One moment, a man can be well. That family has experienced that also in our midst. One moment well, and the next moment in eternity. Our congregation, do you ever think of doing just like this young man? Of running, to go quickly, because our life is short, because our life is but an handbreadth, that it is but a vapor, it is coming, and it is going to disappear again. We would say, now, is that not a mark? Is that not something that the Lord is giving unto his own children, these things, that this man, we say, this man is a fair prospect for heaven. Here is now a young man. Consider his life. He is blameless. No one is able to say to him that he has done this wrong. He has a conscience that is clear. You have a conscience that is clear? This man walks according to that psalm that we have sung. He tries. He says all these things. He says, I have kept them, Lord, from my youth up. And he is honest about it. He has indeed a heart that wants to walk according to all the commandments of the Lord. And then there is nothing that anyone else of his neighbors is able to lay against the charge of to charge against this man. Does that congregation make us ashamed? Who can say with him, all these have I observed from my youth. And yet, this man feels something. Do you know what he feels? He feels he misses something. With everything he has, he is afraid that he doesn't have enough. O congregation, that is more than many today, who do not have near what this man has, and who believe to possess everything that is necessary to live in this world and to go out of this world. Or if a man, a natural man, is even half truthful with himself, he will feel it when he must compare himself with justice, the justice of God, that he is lacking something. And so this man approaches the Lord Jesus, that great prophet, good master. And then he is asking him, he says, what lack I yet? We say, young man, oh, there's another mark. Another mark that is in your favor. You ask the two. Also in this week, oh Lord, what am I lacking? What am I missing? Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Should that seem remarkable unto us? Because this man, in an outward way, appears just like one of his own children. That appears, it looks like a man who is quickened. Quickened by that Spirit of the Lord. But it is not necessarily so. There is a love of the Lord to his people. That is a special love. The Lord loves his children with an everlasting love. And then there is a love of the Lord to good, that is, to moral good. That is, when a man in an outward way, even by the common grace of God, walks in such an outward way according to the commandments of the Lord, then there is a certain love that is of coming from the Lord himself. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. So is that love? Is that love? To tell this man that he lacked something? And to make this man, as we read here, sad. To make him sad. Is that love? Congregation, the Bible says it is love. When we do not pat one another on the back, when we do not say, oh, everything is good with you, when we are honest with one another, and we are not each other's judges, that is true. But what is on the outside is telling what is on the inside, right? The tree is known by its fruits. And thus, we may be straightforward. We may be, must be, because that is, we read here, love. One thing thou lackest. Well, you say, is that important, that he lacks one thing? Does it have to go just so and so in the life of God's people? That's what you hear today, right, young people? They say it has to go just this way. And if we lack anything in that, well, then it is not good enough. No, that is not true. It is not true. Because there is much that is in the life of God's church where there is room for difference. You can understand that Lydia and Timothy and Manasseh and the Apostle Paul, it did not all go the same in their life, right? No, there were great differences. And so there may be also great differences in the way, in the leadings of the Lord with His people. But there are some things that there may be no difference. There are some things that the Lord Jesus say are essential. There are some things that He says we may not be lacking in. And that is now, that has to be the content of our self-examination. Not whether that it has gone exactly like my neighbor, no. But am I lacking in those things which cannot be lacking? What are those things that are necessary for me to know? Those are the marks, and that need to be examined in such a week as this. And here, the Lord Jesus is dealing with an essential point. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Is that the essential point? That we sell everything that we have? Who does that? Did David sell everything that he had? Did Solomon sell everything that he had? Oh no, congregation, that is not necessary. No, the Lord gives a man possessions. What does He give a possessions for? He gives him talents. He gives him riches. And He does that to see how He is going to distribute those riches. Because there are needy, there are poor in this world. And then He gives them to a man, and He gives a heart to a man to distribute those riches to those who are in need in this world. That is what the Bible said. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. And those who will not help the poor, the Lord will take the riches away. Because He is not a faithful steward of the riches that God has given unto him. Or He will allow them to keep them. And when He dies, or He will judge him. And He will give them to a man who is better than he. No, that is not to give away all the riches. But why does Jesus say this? Well, congregation, He had sent this man to the law. You say He sent him to the law? Why did the Lord Jesus send this man to the law? Can the law save this man? No. But Calvin calls the law the first part of instruction. Did you ever receive the first part of instruction? You know, children, if your teacher teaches you, or just in the beginning of the year, right? You have to have the first part before you can get the second part. It all goes in order, right? Well, there is also an order that the Lord is instructing His people. And that instruction begins with the law. And if we do not have instruction in the law, then we cannot, it is impossible to receive instruction in the gospel. Because that work of the law is bringing a man, it is preparing a man for what the Lord is going to reveal unto him in his need concerning his only begotten Son. What part of the law did the Lord Jesus set before this man? Well, He set before him the second table. There are two tables, right? And the first four commandments and the last six commandments, love God above all, thy neighbor as thyself. And the Lord Jesus did not begin with the first table. He began with the second table. Say, why? Well, it is not as easy to examine myself by that first table as it is by the second table. Why not? Well, yeah. The first, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Is that your question? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You say, yeah, do I love him? Do I love him? And no idols? Who? Do I have idols in my heart? And now that second table, that is really much easier. Why? Well, there is my neighbor. There is my neighbor. And now that love that has to show itself. This man has all these riches. And what does he now with all his riches? Is he now using them all for himself? Has he no compassion on the poor? Then we see the fear of God, the love of God cannot dwell in the heart of this man. And thus the Lord Jesus sent him to the law. And when the Lord Jesus sent him to the law, what happened? Then he grew. He grew with the law. He said, all of these things have I kept. He was a keeper of the law. Well, in an outward way, it looks like he was. What did he not understand? He did not understand that that law is spiritual. That it is speaking about something much deeper than all those things that are external. And now the Lord Jesus will teach him. He says, oh, young man, you must now go live it out. Go live it out. You do not understand. Go now and sell it all. Go sell it all. And give now that all unto the poor. And now he will teach him. He will teach him what? He will teach him what covetousness lives in his heart. That is really the end of all of that law, right? The last commandment that is showing the spirituality of that whole law. That it is not just the outward deeds, but it is that which is living in my heart. And that is what the Lord Jesus pointed this man to. And when we will examine ourselves according to all the commandments of the law, then we must end in that last one that is making the entire law of God inward, spiritual. One thing thou lackest. What does the Lord Jesus say that he lacked? He says, young man, you lack poverty. Poverty. A young man, this is a necessary point. This is what you must know. You lack it, and it cannot be lacking. That is not only outwardly. No, he speaks about what is inward and spiritual. The ascetics gave up all their goods. They went to live in a cave, or they went to live somewhere where they had nothing. Monks, nuns, gave up everything. We will live in poverty. But do you know what they could not give themselves? They could not give themselves spiritual poverty. We can give away everything and not give ourselves anything. It can easily actually even be the opposite. That with our poverty, we become rich. That we have something when we have poverty. But now what is that true spiritual poverty that is necessary and that is so against our flesh? But we better sing Psalter 384, 1, 4, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 1, 4, and 5 of 384. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. If this young man sold all his possessions and followed Christ, and he has nothing left, what kind of a life does he have? You say he has a life of dependence. Dependence. Christ's disciples, when they follow him, they have to eat. When he will give them something to eat. He does not always give that to them as soon as they are hungry either, does he, children? No, sometimes they have to become a little hungry. And then the Lord Jesus feeds them. That is now the life of that true church. It is a life of dependence, that is, for the food of their soul, that they may stay alive. Bow down thine ear, O God, and hear. For I am poor and great my need. You know that life? You know that life? It is a life, congregation, that is not able to help itself. O God, be merciful unto me, for all the day I cry unto thee. If David could have helped himself, then he would have helped himself. Now, who chooses poverty? Nobody. Our flesh does not choose poverty. What happened to that young man? What do we read? We read, he went away sad. That is now an emblem of you and me, of all of us. The Lord Jesus says then to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The disciples are astonished. You say, who then can be saved? Yeah, that is true. That is true. You say the Lord Jesus tells them something that is absolutely impossible. You experience that. Is that also what you find when you try? The Lord Jesus says that. He says, with men, it is impossible, but not with God. So he says now, this is the Lord's work. This is the Lord's work. What is the Lord's work? That is to take away the riches. The riches. That is not the natural riches, but the spiritual riches that his children, his elect, possess. They need to be stripped away from them. That has not to do with the riches themselves. What does that have to do with? What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, it is about the trust in their riches. Trust. What is trust? Well, you say that is faith. That is right. That is actually the essence. That is what faith actually is, apart from everything else. Thus, God must strip his people. He must make them poor. And he must make them poor because that is the only way that he is able to make them, bring them to cast their own case upon himself. Does it make him sad? Oh, yes. Does he stop? Oh, no. Why? Necessary. Necessary. You cannot miss this. It cannot be lacking. And why can it not be lacking? Cannot be lacking because the Lord says, I will not share my glory. You cannot trust me and in something else. But I will be trusted, I will be leaned upon all alone. Thus, soul despair of a broken covenant. That is what the Lord Jesus says is necessary. There can be no joy coming in the morning except there is weeping first in the night. That is to take away and to break down. One thing thou lackest. Thus, that is our question today. We're just at the beginning, right? This is just the beginning of your examination, a soul examination in this week. We say, what are we now going to begin with in your self-examination? Well, is this necessary thing lacking in your life? Say, I do not know it. I'm a reprobate. No, congregation. No. Do not say that. Do not say that. Because we cannot know that. We cannot know that until after that we have breathed our last breath. There is a man who was converted in the Bible a few hours before he died. Then it is still possible. No, we do not know our reprobation. Oh, you know what it also does not even mean? You say, I do not know that. I am unconverted. Congregation, do you know that the Lord's Supper, that is not for the littlest ones? It is true that the littlest ones will never be denied. It is true that the littlest ones can never eat and drink judgment to themselves. But also those littlest ones are not able to profit from that table of the Lord. And why? Because there is meat at that table. There is meat at the table that the littlest ones cannot eat. They must be given the milk of the word. And thus, though they are not rejected, and though they are not condemned, it is actually not for their profit. There is a specific object of faith that is displayed at that table of the Lord. And what is that object? That is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the passion. That is the suffering of the Son of God. That is the death of the Son of Man. For the sake of his church, if that has never become the object of our faith, even in the smallest way, then we are not able to do it in remembrance of him. And then there is something else. It is not only that we cannot profit, but congregation, as long as this necessary point is lacking, it could be that our religion is nothing more than the religion of the rich young ruler. We don't say it is. We say it could be. Because what is then lacking with us is what was lacking with him. One thing thou lackest. That is not that we don't have enough, but it is that we have too much. Too much. Too much that we have never lost. The Lord Jesus, the Lord says, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord alone. Why? Because everything else, the Lord is certainly going to take away from his church. That is their cross. Their cross. That is for their flesh. Because we don't like it, do we? When the Lord takes everything away from us, the Lord does not stop. If the Lord stops, then it is not his work. But the Lord keeps going with his people. You know, a man who is bankrupt, if he is bankrupt, then comes the creditor, right, young people? Creditor comes. He says, pay me what you owe to me. If you cannot pay, takes away your house, takes away your bed, takes away your table. What do you think? A man knows that? Of course he knows that. He has nowhere to sleep. He has nothing to eat. He has no protection. And now when your soul when that creditor comes, and that creditor says, pay me what thou owest to me. You think a man knows that? Oh, then he feels it. Then he knows that he is without food to eat. He is exposed unto the wrath of God. Ah, then there is no rest for his soul. Oh, he knows it. And then he also knows something else. You know what he knows? He knows when Christ, he says, follow me. Follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Just read about Levi and Philip. They knew that day. They knew that day when the Lord spoke to them and said to them, follow me. That was a significant point in their life. Most often that is not by even the outward invitation of the gospel, but simply a setting forth of that solution that is suitable to the case of a poor and wretched and miserable sinner. Ah, then that invitation, congregation, is implied. That is, a people who hear it and they comply by the power of God's Spirit with that invitation. There is a movement, not of their body, there is a movement of their soul. John the Baptist preached, he says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Andrew and John followed him. Was there an invitation in it? Ah, yes, there was. They heard it. They say, that is suitable to me. The Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. You see that, young people? That first instruction was there. The first instruction. And then they hear also that second instruction. Wherein lies the suitability for that people? That is in their poverty. That is in the poverty of their soul, from whom the creditor has taken everything away. Then they say, O Lord, to whom shall we go? Because thou hast the words of eternal life. One thing thou lackest, you have never become bankrupt. Have you ever become bankrupt? Say, how do I know that? That's a good question. Say, how do I know that? You want to know that? Ruth was a poor widow. She was consigned to gleaning in the fields of Boaz. That is the life of the church. They are poor widows. They have lost their first husband. That is the law. And they're coming into that house of God, and there they are gleaning. What is that? Ah, they're saying, Lord, give that the minister may leave a few handfuls of purpose for me too. And then they are taking home with them just a little handful here and a little handful there. And so Ruth was also doing. And then the day came when her mother-in-law, she said about Boaz, she said, Ruth, he is one of our next kinsmen. Congregation, I say that Ruth never forgot that day. He is one of our next kinsmen. What was that for her? Was she then married? No. Was she then assured? No. What did she receive in that moment? What did she receive? Hope hope for her redemption. And in whom was that hope? That was in Boaz. When she heard that he is one of our next kinsmen. You ever hear that? Gleaning in his fields, in his house, upon his day. Instructed in that first part of the law. And then to hear, ah, he, our next kinsman, who has come from his glory and has taken upon himself our flesh and has become our next kinsman. Hope, hope that Ruth could also become one of the true children, and that she also could be brought to be one of the true children of Israel, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. Oh, I say that Ruth has never forgotten that moment when that hope, that little bit, just a little bit, right? It's taking place where? Not with great fanfare. No one knows about it. Simple statement of her mother-in-law. And it came into her heart. Came into her heart. And she went to bed that night different than she had got up in the morning. Congregation, we ask this of you, that you will examine yourself in this week that we have entered. Here we have the necessary point. It does not matter if that has been seen so far in the distance. It does not matter if that has been as a clap of thunder. It doesn't matter if it has been as a still small voice. But you know for yourself whether the smallest in him has been born in your soul. I cannot tell you that. And you cannot judge that of one another. But you know it. And the Lord knows it too. Thus that is between God and your own soul. We cannot remember him if he has never been revealed to us. And when he is revealed to us, then we begin to believe. We begin to believe. And that hope that is evidence of faith, that is what it is. It is evidence. That is what how you may know if you have believed. That is a great change. He is not revealed to the rich. No, he is revealed to the poor. That is what the Lord Jesus said. He said, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. That is not what we say. No, that is a mark. That is a mark the Lord Jesus said. What did Hannah sing? He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. One thing thou lackest, O congregation, do we now lack? This thing, this poverty, this bankruptcy, and this hope which is given unto his church in their bankruptcy. Did you ever hear the gospel preached unto the poor as a hope for your own soul? If you do lack this, if you do lack this, then we say to you, then do not come unto that table of the Lord, because you cannot yet remember him. Cannot yet remember him. But do not go away sad at this word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Lord Jesus has spoken this word in love. And he has laid out for us the way that it must and is always received. Do as he says. Go and sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor. And then, come. He does not say go away forever. No. He says first sell it all. And then come back. And follow me. He says, and I will provide for you. You don't have to provide for yourself anymore. It will all come from me. And you will just depend on me. You will just trust. You will just wait. And I will feed you. And I will give you everything that you need for this life. Your food and drink, that all shall be sure. And I will give you what you need to pass out of this life. And then you will lack nothing. As all my children, you will lack nothing. All the Lord give us truly to examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith and whether our soul has ever truly believed, rested for a little moment, hoped in him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can but try to speak a few words. O give that it may be profitable for each one of us upon our short journey, and that thou may give truly a self-examination in this week. Lord, thou knowest all that comes against it. Give us to set aside also a little time, and that we may turn within, and that we may seek thy face for these blessings which cannot be missed. Remember us also in our classes meeting in this week. Wilt thou give all that is necessary and thy blessing, and that we may meet together in brotherly love and unity, and that we may receive wisdom from above for all decisions that must be made. Bring us safely home. Care for the sick and mourning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 310, 1, 2, 3, and 6. I love the Lord for my request. In humble plea, he makes his care. In him, through life, my faith shall rest, for he both hears and answers prayer. 1, 2, 3, and 6 of 310.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.